So our message title is Faith Without Works is Dead. And we're going to be covering a passage of scripture in James 2, 14 through 26. And we're going to go back and forth between those scriptures and other scriptures. So we're starting in James 2, 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now James is writing, it says in the beginning, he's writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. He calls them brethren. So he's talking to the churches. This is a letter that is going to be sent out to all the different churches, not just in one particular place. It's going to be sent everywhere. He's not dealing with just a particular problem that is happening where he's at. He's dealing with this question of faith and works. Now, in Ephesians 2, 8 through 13, let's read those scriptures there. And these scriptures are being sent out to the Gentiles. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye are sometimes, who were sometimes far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So this is talking about that no, our salvation does not come through works. It comes through faith. But he is talking to the Gentiles, because the Jewish people felt like that it all came down through a lineage, and it all came through their works, and the works of the law, and the works of sacrifice, and the works of all that they had to do, the ceremonies and all of those things. That's where they got their faith. That's where they felt like it came from. But what he's talking to them, to the Gentiles about, is that no, it's not about those other covenants. And it's not about the promises that God made to a chosen people. It's not about being circumcised or uncircumcised. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It was changed when Jesus came. Now everybody enters into the kingdom through him, not through ceremony, not through the law, not through all of those things. So he's talking here, this writer is talking here, probably Paul, I didn't look it up. He's talking here to them and letting them know that no, you don't have to be a part of the Jewish lineage in order to have it, because it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. But, so what is James talking about? What is happening where James is at, or what is happening among all of the churches? What is he fighting against here when he says, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Because when the other apostle is talking to the Gentiles, he's saying that it doesn't come by works, it comes by faith. So it seems as if there's it's contrary one to the another, but it's really not, because it's talking about two different things. In James 2, 15 through 18, let's go to those scriptures. If a brother or sister be naked. Now see, James is saying, what did the prophet, brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? And now he's going to use this as an example of what he's talking about. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and notwithstanding you give them those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So he's using this to show that when we have faith, there is a natural outpouring of something that happens that we have to continue in. It's not just something that we get one time and then we never have to do anything after that. Now, at that time, that James is talking to these people, obviously you're saying, okay, what is happening here that he would be telling them this? What is he trying to get them to do? What is he trying to get them to understand? It says in the 18th verse, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The question is, a better question is, how do you know where faith is without works? How do you know? There are a lot of people that say they believe in God, but their works don't say anything about God. Their works don't prove it out. There are many people that say, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ and I'm saved. But they go on living the exact same way that they lived before they said that they found Christ. So there's no works following. Nothing is happening in their life. They're just saying, I'm living by faith, but they're not. Nothing is changing in their life. But yet the whole Bible teaches a change.
Yes.
It's such a drastic change that it's like being born again and starting all over. It's different. It brings something. In that day, and they're still in this day, the antinomians or antinomianism, this is a doctrine that says they have faith only, but doesn't change anything in their life. There's no change in the life. They're against any legal or moral or social norms. And when you get, in other words, when you accept Christ or you accept Christ in your life or religion or whatever, you don't have to change anything. It's all paid for. He paid the price. And so now anything you do from here on out, he already paid the price and you don't have to change anything. Now, this was happening back there. It's still happening today. The point is that we run into people all the time. You can be in a group of people, and maybe you've been discussing things. Maybe you've seen these people and been in this group of people many times for work or for whatever. You've been in the company of these people. And then all of a sudden, in one conversation or something, one of them will say, well, you know, well, I'm a Christian, and you're shocked because you've never seen any manifestation of the Christian life. They have laughed at all of the inappropriate jokes. They have conducted themselves. They had said things. They've involved themselves in things. You know of things that they say that they've done over the weekends and things like this. And you're shocked when they say, well, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. Because there's no works. See, faith without works is dead. And so we don't even recognize it. Somebody has to be alive for us to recognize it. To be alive. They have to be doing those things that are pleasing in God's sight. To be alive to where we can see it. It says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are ambassadors. We are supposed to be examples. We are lights. How can you be a light when you don't look and shine any different than anyone else in the room? How can it be That it's all by faith. It's all by just this inward faith, this inward belief. And that's all I have to do. And I never have to change a thing about myself. Never have to look to the Lord to help me to change anything about myself. I just look to the fact that I believe. I have faith that God is there. Jesus is there. He died. He died for my sins. And that's the end of it. I never have to think about it again. I accepted that. I just accepted it. I thought about it. I went forward or I did whatever I did. And that's over. But I don't have to change anything. And do you know that there are many, many, many people that claim the name of Christ that are doing this?
Yes.
That they feel like they don't have to have any works. There are many that feel like they don't have to follow everything in the Bible because it's antiquated. It's ancient. That's what they did back then, but we're in modern times. That's why they don't have to worry about their dress. Because they say, oh, that was all back there, not in our modern times. They don't have to do a lot of things because they say, that was back there. Oh, don't you know the days of the miracles are past? That was just for back there. That was just to prove to who Jesus was and everything. That it's not happening anymore. We don't trust the Lord for our bodies anymore. We don't anoint and pray over people anymore because that was ancient. That was before. And they leave out things because they don't believe everything has a purpose and everything that's in the Bible has a reason that it's there. And they don't want to change. The truth of the matter is, they don't want to change their lives.
Right.
Why? Because the flesh. Yeah. The flesh wants to lead us down a path of destruction.
True.
The devil deals with the flesh. But it says through Christ we can conquer the flesh. We can be on top of it.
Yeah.
We can hold it down. We can make it behave. We can hold it, chain it up, make it behave. And do you know that over time, as you live this Christian life, your flesh is less and less affected by the things that are out there in the world. Why? Because you worked. That's why. You had works. You did something about it. You didn't just sit back and say, well, I don't feel any different. I was saved yesterday, but I don't feel any different, and I really want to go here and do that, so I'll just go do it because I was saved. So now I don't have to do anything. I don't have to change anything. I don't have to wonder if I should do this or do that. Or it's all taken care of. Jesus died on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice. And do you realize that people that believe this way are looking... They're acting like the people did in the Old Testament, many of the old people in the Old Testament. Because the blood of goats and heifers or whatever, it couldn't change the person. So there wasn't a change. They just had to ceremonially come in and perform this act, and then they were justified. They were considered justified at that point. But it didn't change anything in their heart. Now, there have always been those that have been sensitive to the Lord's dealings because the Lord dealt even in the Old Testament times. We have the patriarchs. We have the prophets. We have all the different ones that God dealt with all along the way and talked to. And they actually received more than maybe your common man did. They actually worked towards God. They, no doubt, they prayed more and they gave themselves over more. Maybe they spent more time reading the scriptures and all of these things. Whatever it was, whatever they did, they were closer to the Lord, and the Lord respected that and gave them power. He gave them gifts. He sent them out to work in his vineyard in the time that they were living in. But they did not have the power to change. We see that in David when he was tempted and he fell away from God. And yet God said he was a man after his own heart. Why? Because he was constantly coming after him. Even though he was constantly saying, Lord, I've done wrong. Help me. I've done wrong. Help me. Do you know any time that we are willing to look at our lives and say, this is wrong. Help me. God is willing to help you. Just saying that this is wrong, help me, is a work.
Amen.
It's a work that we do before God. Instead of just throwing up our hands and saying, I can't help it, and I'm just going to have to be what I am. That is not what God is looking for. We're lights. We're ambassadors. All right, going back to James 2 and 19. Thou believest that there is one God. That's a good thing. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Do you know all through the centuries of time, the devils have always believed. Hasn't done them any good, has it? There's no works. There's no repentance. There's no works. There's no anything. That they are just staying as evil as they have always been and fighting against the kingdom of God. It's done them no good. Why do we feel like that we can name the name of Jesus and then not change anything about ourselves and think that faith is enough? Just faith, faith only. That's all we have to have, just faith. We don't have to follow all these rules and regulations and everything. That isn't what God, he was going to free us from all of that. Now we're free to indulge in anything we want and we're saved. But the Bible doesn't teach that. He teaches us to lay aside things and to put on things. And it's work to lay aside things. It's work to put on things. It is work. And anybody that thinks that they can be saved and not do these kinds of works, they're going to soon find themselves falling away from God. And you know what they say about them? They say, oh, you can't fall. You can't fall. Once saved, always saved. Doesn't matter. Just get back up, shake yourself off, and try again. But that isn't what God, that isn't what the Bible teaches, and that isn't what God expects out of us. The devils have believed for centuries. Hasn't changed anything. In fact, they're afraid of him. They know he has power over them. When the man came and Jesus spoke to Legion, and Legion said to him before he even spoke to him, why have you come to torment us before our time? He knew exactly who he was. He understood it completely, but didn't change anything. Faith without works is dead. In James 20 through 22. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? In other words, he proved his faith by his works. Do you know, we're all going to have to prove our faith by our works. God is looking for a tried people. He's looking for a faithful people. Faith is more than just saying, I believe. Faith is following what God says and being faithful about it. Abraham was justified because he was proved. He was tried and proved. In fact, in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. Our faith is proved out by our works. Abraham believed God. He had faith in God. He believed there was one God. He believed God had called him. He went into a country he didn't know anything about because he believed God. He proved it. He took that first step. He gathered up his things. He started marching and going towards this country that he didn't know anything about. He was proving his faith. I believe in God. I believe we're going to have to prove our faith in God. It's not just simple faith. We believe in God, but there is something that comes behind that. We are going to have to show forth our faith by our works. That's how we're received. That's how people recognize you. How do they recognize you in the store? Sometimes it's the way you're dressed, because you're not dressed anything like the world. You wouldn't be mistaken for the world by the way you're dressed. It might be the way you carry yourself. It might be the kindness that you show. It might be that somebody sees you go through something hard and you just go through it with a smile on your face and triumphant and all down in the dumps. It might be that when everybody else is gossiping about somebody and you have only good things to say. It might be when everybody else is talking or gossiping about somebody and you walk away. People take note.
Yeah.
See, those are works. Those are works. We're justified by our works.
Yeah.
It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We don't see him. We haven't touched him with our physical hands.
Right.
But we have seen him in the Spirit.
Yes.
And we are willing to follow him and do everything that he says.
Amen.
We're just willing to do that. So, let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that Isaac shall be thy seed, be called, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Then we go back to James. James is dealing with these same scriptures. Some of these scriptures being taught to the Gentiles. And some of these scriptures are being taught to the churches. And we need to see how the writers are explaining things differently. Because we need to understand what these two faiths are they're talking about. So James 2 and 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
Yes.
All right. So we're not talking about the Gentiles. We're talking about the churches now. This is going out to the churches. The other over here was going, this other letter was going out to, in Hebrews, was going out to the Gentiles. It's trying to prove what, that you didn't have to be in this particular line.
Yes.
And everything. You didn't have to be a Jew in order to be saved. It was bringing the Greeks in, the Gentiles in. So, he was called the friend of God. But what does the Bible teach us about being a friend of God? In John 15, 14 and 15. John 15, 14 and 15. Ye are my friends. This is Jesus talking. This is in red. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So who's a friend? If you look it up in the dictionary, says somebody that has your back, someone that keeps their promises, they walk by your side, they're there to help, they tell you the truth. This is a friend. This is a real friend.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, ye are my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Why? If there's some work here to do. If you want to be a friend of God, if you want to be accepted of God, there's some work to do. If you do whatsoever I command you. This is the difference between somebody that has faith there is a God,
right,
and somebody that is so close to God that they're a friend of God.
Uh-huh.
They do what he commands.
Amen.
They read the Bible. They understand that all the commandments are still there and that they still have to obey and they still have to look into all these things. They still have to change their lives. They still have to be born again. They still have to put on all of the graces of God, and they still have to put off all of the things that manifest the devil.
Amen.
It's work.
Yes,
it doesn't come overnight. It isn't something that we just do one time and never have to worry about again.
Right.
No, the devil's still after us. He's still trying to tempt us. He's still trying to use some of the ways you're still thinking that you don't even know to change yet. But God is going to show you how to change these things. And it's going to be work. And the works that you do between you and God, they're going to be manifest to the world. They're going to be manifest to your family and on your job and out in public and in the parking lot when somebody takes your parking space because the person backed out the other way. You know how that happens sometimes? There's two of you waiting. You were there first. But they back out towards you and block you and the other one just zips in there. It's going to be what you manifest
right.
at that point.
Amen.
It's going to be work.
Help us, Lord.
You're going to have to deal with your insides. You're going to have to deal with your mind. You're going to have to deal with what is motivating you at that very moment. That thing that says, that's so unjust. I was here first. You're going to have to deal with it.
Amen.
You're going to have to put it under.
That's
you're going to have to beat it down. You're going to have to say, Lord, I don't want to have these kind of feelings, you know.
Amen.
And after a while, you don't even have to do that anymore. What happens is they zip into that place and you say, oh, Lord, they must have needed it more than me. They must have needed a shorter space. They must have needed, you know, they're in a hurry and maybe there's something really important and I have time. And you start giving people the benefit of the doubt. Instead of judging everybody around you, you learn how to look at them and give them mercy. Why? Because you were given mercy.
Right.
And so you take on the attributes of Christ. But taking on his attributes is very strenuous work. It is not something that comes easy. When we will do it for our whole lives, we will find out when we get down to the very end that we will have a little attitude or something that pops out and we go, oh, Lord. Here I am, I'm in my 60s now, I'm in my 70s now, and this little attitude pops out.
Yes.
And I recognize it and see it maybe for the first time. I have to go to work.
Yes.
I have to work right then.
Thank the Lord.
All right, we're back in James again. We're going to James 2 and 24. It says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. In other words, works prove out your faith.
Yes.
You aren't justified by faith only. You can't just say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he was the Messiah. I believe this. I believe that. And I'm going to keep living like the people in the Old Testament lived, where they kept doing all the bad things and everything. But now, this one sacrifice, I don't have to go and sacrifice every year now. It's been done once and I don't have to do it anymore. So I just go on living in my sin. And that's what people were doing. And that's what was happening. And that's why James was taking time to try to explain to them what was going on. And that they could not live. He's talking to the churches. He's talking to a lot of the Jews that had converted Christianity, and they were coming from a place where they never had to change anything inside, and they just brought their sacrifices once a year, and they were having to learn that they had to change their lives. And so he's teaching them this. All right, let's go to Hebrews 11, 29 through 31. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, after which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. So we're going to go through here. This writer is trying to tell people this is the faith chapter, and it's talking all about faith. By faith this happened, by faith that happened, by faith in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, by faith. saying, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. After they went through, then the Egyptians were drowned. You remember that Moses told them, you won't have to see them anymore. You won't have to see them anymore. They didn't know how that was happening, because here they were storming after him.
Right.
How is this going to work? But this is how it worked. They stepped out onto that dry ground, however it looked. I don't know what that looked like.
Right.
I don't know if it says something about the wall, the waters being on up rolled against each other or something like that. I don't know what that looked like. I can't imagine.
Right.
Maybe it was walls of water. Maybe it was just, you know, really pushed so far back that you couldn't even see where the water was coming from. It's so far away you couldn't even see it. Just didn't look like. But the point being is that they walked through.
Yes.
They did what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
The water had just been there. They didn't know where it went.
Right.
They did not know where that water had gone. They just knew it was gone. And the Egyptians were coming. And a lot of them probably stepped out because they were more afraid of the Egyptians than the water. But they got across, and then the Egyptians drowned. It says in verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, the walls didn't just fall down because they walked up and it was time to enter the city and they all fell down. No, they had to work for it.
Right.
God has taught all through the Bible working for what he is going to give you. That it isn't just, yes, it's a free gift. It doesn't cost you anything, but you're going to have to work to keep it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to work to keep it.
Help, Lord.
After the 7 days that they were quiet and then shouted, did it exactly according to the plan, after that is when the walls fell. But they did it by faith. When they were walking around those walls,
right,
it was by faith.
Yes.
And don't you know, they were thinking in their minds. Do you know that many times we get confused if there's things going on in our minds? We have faith in God. We believe that he's going to deliver us out of this thing, but we have some things that are going in our minds. And we think, but you know, and oh, and this and that. And if that, and the devil's kind of trying to talk to us,
right,
and different things. Do you know that that can't hinder if you just keep going the way you're going? It doesn't matter if the devil throws thoughts in your mind. You can kick them out and keep going the way you were going. Those people marching around that city, as much trouble as Moses had with those people, do you think they were all just perfect servants now? No, they had all kinds of things going on in their head. Well, if this doesn't work, I'm doing this. And if this doesn't work, I'm running. And if this doesn't work, this, you know, and everything. But they're still traipsing around that wall.
Right.
They're still going around. And they're saying, I saw how God did the waters. I don't know about these walls, but I saw the waters,
yeah,
what he could do. I saw how he got us out of Egypt. I saw all that. I don't know, but in other words, I have faith. Well, I'm going to have to prove it. I'm going to have to do what God says to receive the end.
Yeah. Help me, Lord.
And then it goes in the 31st verse. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace.
Yes.
In other words, after she put her life in jeopardy,
right,
after she put all of, and they came and said, where are the men? And all of this, and she had hid them and everything. If they'd have found those men, do you know, she would have lost her life. Maybe her family would have lost their lives. They would not have been, they would not have been happy with her.
Right.
But she had faith. She
did.
Said, there's something. I've heard.
Yeah.
There's something. And by faith, she wanted to be a part of it. Somehow, she wanted to be saved and be a part of it.
Yeah.
And so she put forth the effort. She worked.
Yes.
And then she went and got all of her family inside there. And that was the only place on the wall that didn't crumble down and kill everybody in all the houses next to the wall.
Right.
She was able to escape.
Thank God.
All right, in James 2, going back to James 2, verses 25-26. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works. See? Was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? He's trying to teach these other ones.
Yes.
He's trying to teach the churches. Listen, you have to do something. And he's using two examples, Abraham and Rahab, out of the Old Testament, showing that even they had to do something.
Yes.
Even they had to do it. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. She endangered herself. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead. Now haven't you seen that? Haven't you seen dead people? Void of the spirit, but claiming the name of Christ. Claiming the name of God, but are dead without the Spirit. Many, many places where people have different kinds of worship, different kinds of books that they follow, different prophets that they follow, and all of them are in this category. Without the Spirit. Body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead.
Amen.
They believe in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They do a lot of works, but it doesn't save them.
Right.
It doesn't save them because they're believing in the wrong thing.
Lord have mercy.
And then all the people that are following Jesus, they say, but they don't know any of his teachings in the New Testament. They don't pay attention to any of those. They just go on living their life just like they did before they got saved.
Yes.
They go on living their life and they think that it's an eternal sacrifice. It covers me. If it's a really bad sin, or if I do this or if I do that, and that's where this teaching has come from, that I don't sin, you know, or I sin all the time, rather. I sin every day, can't help it. This is where this teaching comes from, because they don't work at it. And they don't understand what sin is. Sin is willful.
Right.
Sin is willful. It's not because the devil drops a thought in your head that you have committed a sin.
Right.
You just kick it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because an emotion rises up that you've committed a sin. You just handle your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, Lord, help me to keep my emotions in control.
Yes.
Sin is a willful disobedience against God. We are not talking about small mistakes here and there. We are talking about willful sin. That's what it is. Titus 3. We're going to go to Titus 3, 4 through 8. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Lord. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. This is what he wants us to do constantly.
Mm-hmm.
They which believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Do you know the Bible is full of instructions to all of us? Did you notice that when you first got saved, that you started hearing some of the instructions from the Bible? You started hearing some of the principles, and you started hearing some of the outright things that are named in the Bible. And do you remember what your mind did with those things? You begin to feel something about it, but I don't want to give that up.
Right.
And, well, I don't know if you have to go that far. I'll give him a little. I'll do a little. I'll do this part. Because this part really isn't that important to me anyway. So I'm going to give that up easily. But this one over here is harder for me. And I just don't know. I think I need the Lord to speak to me directly. And I need to be convinced. And I need this and I need that. And what you're really saying is, I don't want to right now.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes we just have to be honest with where we are. If we're, the more honest we are, the more that God can help us. It's not that we don't understand, it's that we don't want to. If it was required, if it was in black and white, we don't want to. We've gotten pleasure out of it. We've wanted to have it. We've wanted to enjoy it. We've wanted to be part of it. We have had fun with it in the past or whatever. We don't want to. It's work to go against you don't want to's. It's work. You have to learn how to do that. God has to become more important to you than you, than yourself. God has to become more important. And do you know it takes God a while to convince us that he's more important than what we want to do every day? Oh, the Lord is so good to us. We prove our faith by the changes that we make in our life. When we hold on to things, we prove how little faith we have.
Lord, help me.
How little faith we have. When we hold on to things.
Oh, Lord.
You know, there are many things that we understand. We have seen people down through our lives, from the time we were young to the time we're older. We have seen people that lived it right. We admired them. We looked at them. We thought, they're the ones that we go to for counsel. They're the ones, the one we're really in trouble. They're the ones we call. But do you know, it's hard to live their life.
Mm-hmm.
You look at their life and they say, and you say, what do they do for fun?
True.
What do they do for fun?
True.
So we hang on to a little.
Yes.
We're just going to have a little fun. Just a little. We're not going to let it be a sinful thing. We're going to be careful. We're going to be very careful with it. But we're hanging on to some of it. Well, I don't see where indulging in this worldly pleasure is that bad. I don't see, you know, where the devil is interested in that. Or I don't see where that's really hindering me in any way. I'm growing in the Lord, and I'm this. Do you know that you can grow in the Lord for a long time hanging on to stuff? Hanging on to stuff. You can grow for a long time. But there's a time coming when you're going to have to deal with it.
Very true.
God is so merciful.
That's true, Lord.
He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart, and he knows you just don't want to. He knows it. But he knows how you're made. He knows how you take things. He knows how to deal with you in a gentle way. He takes sometimes a long time to convince you of things. A long time. And we wonder sometimes, Lord, why did it take so long? Because the Lord was being merciful to you and he just didn't slam you with it and make you dig right there and maybe lose you over it. Because you just couldn't quite get there yet.
Lord.
It's all about sacrifice, dear ones. It's all about giving up this world and all of its pleasures, concentrating on the kingdom of God. It's all about those things.
Yeah.
It is not about the pleasures of this world. There are so many good pleasures in this world. There are many, many good ones. But we have replaced all of the good ones with the bad ones. Society as a whole has replaced all of the good ones with bad ones. It used to be that the family would gather around the dinner table in the evening and share things and have worship together and everything. Now, what is happening? Now they're all scattered. All the children are off playing sports somewhere. The parents are off doing this somewhere. They all have their own phones in their own room, going on their own internet. They all have TVs, and every child has one in their room, and the parents have one in their room, and they're all separated.
Yes.
How do you think that happened?
Oh, Lord.
The devil is taking advantage.
Yes.
We have to give up. There are these simple pleasures to enjoy, and they're very rewarding. One of the things that I have heard several stories and several different people stories about how people during this virus are spending time at home. Some of them are not working now, and they're home with their children, and their children are not working now. And so, or not in school now. And so they're spending all this time together and everything. And you know what they're discovering? They're discovering that they're having fun with each other. They're discovering that they can have interaction, and that there's a great pleasure to be had in this simple thing that God invented, the family, that they have completely abandoned for all of the worldly entertainments. But they're discovering something. Let's hope that it takes root. Let's hope it takes root all over this country. And that people will realize, you know what? I'd rather be home with my children. Or they will realize that we need to spend more time together. And they will realize that there are times that they just need to shut off the phones and shut off this and that and everything else and spend time together. Maybe there will be some much good that comes out of this. See, the simple pleasures in life. The simple ones. You know? There are many, many pleasures in this life that we can take a hold of that bring much more satisfaction than the worldly pleasures. The worldly pleasures flash up before you. You immediately consume it, and then it's gone. And you're left with nothing afterwards except the need to go and get another flash. But these times that of spending with the family, the simple pleasures in life, you know, going off to parks and picnics and going on hikes and going on bike rides and all the things, simple, simple pleasures in life. That at the end of it, you feel good. There's no sorrow that comes with it. It's all just good. Listen, dear ones, we have to work for our salvation. And if we think that we can mix our salvation with all of these works of the world instead of the works of God, we are going to be sadly mistaken. We are going to find ourselves short at a time when we really needed power. We're going to find ourselves missing something. Maybe even right at the end, we might be one of those that said, "Lord, Lord, didn't we? Didn't we, Lord?" No. Works. It says faith without works is dead. You have to have the godly life to go along with your faith.
Amen.
Or it won't matter. Amen.